Before we officially start, I must give a special shout out to the boys over at Recovery. Much like myself and the lads, Chris and Ian are a couple of rugby fanatics like we all are, and they've created various products with recovery in mind based around natural CBD remedies. Head over to their Instagram page or website and use the code 3blokes, that's the number 3, followed by the word blokes, for 10% off all their natural products and feel the benefit today.
Good afternoon, good morning and good evening from wherever you are listening from. My name is Jamie Robinson. And welcome to episode 99, that is right, episode 99 of Three Blokes and a Rugby League podcast. Jed Amos Goddard has bottled the podcast today because of this weekend's results, but I'm sure we'll get to that a bit later on. But it's a two-man booth for the podcast as my old mate Callum Woody Wood has joined me. He's 50 Guinnesses deep, actually 60 Guinnesses deep. I'm sure he'll tell us a bit more about that in a second, mate. But you've had a stag do slash wedding this weekend in Ireland, mate, haven't you, mate? Are you feeling a bit rough today?
Been a long old weekend, mate. Yeah. So Johnny, who was on the pod with us as a co-host a few weeks ago, he got married to Sophie yesterday. So had a good old knees up in Belfast, and I'm on the road to recovery now, I think. I hope.
Excellent. So all the best to Johnny and Sophie there from Three Blokes. I'm sure everybody that's listening as well. We've had a discussion, haven't we, Woody, the past couple of weeks, and especially going into the season next year, we're going to try and change up the kind of format we do it in. We'll still try and do a bit of analysis where we can. Chatting both sides of the hemisphere in terms of rugby league, but we're going to try and change the flow, aren't we, more than anything else in today's podcast. We'll give it a go, especially because there's two of us.
Yeah, I've got a few little different features and discussion bits, haven't we, as opposed to the usual analysis kind of heavy stuff we do. So give it a whirl and see how it goes.
Excellent stuff. We're going to start, mate. Player of the round. We haven't really said specifically whether it's Super League or NRL. We've kind of left it open, haven't we? But I'll let you go first, mate. Who's your player of the weekend, let's call it, more than anything else?
I have gone with NRL for this one, and a bit of a different name to the usual suspects who are always in my teams of the week and stuff, your Turbos and Teddies and Cody Walker and DC. And I've gone for Josh Curran for me. I'm a real big fan of him, and he's in a great run of form recently. He's actually kind of getting better week on week. And I know they only played the Doggies, but kind of looking at his numbers and the way he played and stuff, had 175 metres, 3 line breaks, line break assist, try assist, 4 busts, 42 tackles, 23 receipts as well. It's really, really good from him numbers-wise. And like I say, I've been kind of looking at him for a few weeks now in a bit of a purple patch. I think he's real class. So yeah, that's my player of the round.
Yeah, spot on, mate. Once again, obviously, I've watched the Warriors past 2 or 3 weeks, mate, and he's such a good player. And I noticed him a bit more early on this season, but this partnership he's got with you and Aitken at the Warriors really seems to be working. I've gone a bit more straight and narrow. I mean, I was going to pick Tommy Turbo, but I thought you might pick him. I know he's a big favourite of yours. But I've gone the other way. I've gone with Latrell Mitchell. Bunnies, once again, pure dominance. They've broken the record for the amount of wins in a row scored by 30-plus points. He got one try assist, 3 offloads, 3 line breaks, 3 line break assists, 10 tackle breaks and 184 run metres. We said it week in, week out. The Bunnies are peaking at the right time. Wayne Bennett is winding up that attacking threat. And, you know, touch wood, they're staying injury-free at the minute as well. So they are looking so, so, so potent in attack. They've got a big game this coming week as well, which I'm sure we'll get into a bit later on. We'll tell you the fixtures and fittings of what's going on. But Latrell Mitchell, for me, definitely so, mate. And you covered the first couple of games in NRL Round 22, didn't you, Woody?
Yeah, I had the Thursday and Friday game, so I kind of run through the 4 I watched and give a little bit of background. First, I had Melbourne Storm Canberra, which was a result which obviously we expected, and Melbourne broke the record, but it's quite a tight game, really, and Melbourne struggled a bit to get it over the line at the end. They had a few Pappenhausen penalties late on. Thought, you know, we were mentioning the other week how Jack Whiten hadn't had such a great season and hadn't put in many big performances, but he was class in this game, probably best I've seen him play all season, I think, and like he got 4 points in my player of the year. Nika Hines got 5. Cam Munster got 3. Bailey Simonson got 2. He got a hat trick. They're all pretty much 5-10 metres out, but a decent bit of finishing for him. And Hudson Young got 1 as well. Like I said, yeah, a real tight game. And Mel, we've had a few of those recently, you know, finding different ways to win. And they're not always putting 50 points on and kind of steamrolling teams. So it's probably a good challenge for them at getting towards the playoffs. Next up, the other playoff contenders in there, Penrith Panthers winning 34-16 at the Dragons. Again, obviously Nathan Cleary back this week. A bit of a struggle again, to be honest, for them. I thought it might have been a bit of a wider margin, but, you know, looking at it, they're fairly comfortable in the end. But Matt Burton was class again, moving back into the centres. He got my 5 points. Dylan Edwards got 4. Brent Naden got 3. Thought he played really well. Nearly got a hat-trick. And I think, you know, we're talking about the players the Doggies are signing for next season. I think Brent Naden's been overlooked a little bit. I think he'll be a really good pickup for them. Mika Ravalar in there with two. Now you mentioned about his try scoring record in these, and he got another one, 8-6 now maybe in that ground. And Teletau Amoni with one as well. I thought he was real class. Next one, your prediction for the Broncos nearly came to fruition, but not
so
quite.
Close, mate. So
nearly,
close.
Nearly. So Brisbane Broncos 20, Sydney Roosters 21. Absolutely chaotic game. I know I'm going to speak about the finish a bit more later on, but the last 8 minutes or so, if anyone's not seen the game yet, go and watch those last 8 minutes. The lead changing hands all over the place, captain's reviews, questionable penalties and stuff on reports. It was a crazy, crazy finish. James Tedesco, 5 points, once again, kind of carrying the Roosters. Payne Haas with four, always absolute class. Isaac Liu with three. CSE Atakiaho with two. And Albert Kelly with one. Thought he put a decent shift in, actually, as well. And then, unfortunately, the last game that I watched was the Manly Warringah Eagles, 56. The Parramatta Eels, 10. Somehow got two tries. Couldn't even believe that. Probably knew it was going to be a wide margin. We were up against it, but 56 against us, it's ridiculous. We've dropped to sixth now. Like we said before, well, we were pretty much guaranteed Eels were finishing sixth, and kind of lucky we started off the season so well. So if the season started in the most recent 10 rounds, we'd be nowhere near that playoff pitch. It was dreadful. It's the same as it's been the last 3 weeks when I've kind of dived into our games a bit. Tommy Turbo, like you mentioned, player of the round, absolutely class again, always is. 5 points for him. Reuben Garrick, four. I think he's been excellent recently as well, and kind of pulling along with Turbo. I think that back three is one of the best in the competition with Saab in there as well. DC with three, Moses Sulu two, and Jason Saab himself with one. And I think that's probably the last I'd like to talk about that game, mate. So I'll chuck over to you. I know you're probably a bit more cheery than me with your result.
Definitely so, mate. And I just want to bask in that 56 points that Manly had there. What a superb performance. I mean, we spoke about it anyway. Parramatta are on a bit of a downward spiral, but 56 points, Manly once again, what an incredible team. One more question as well before we pass over, mate. I've always thought of this bloke as being a really good, hard-working forward, but especially with his sign for the Titans next year. What's your thoughts on Isaac Liu? He goes a bit, he's overshadowed a bit, isn't he, amongst that Roosters pack, but he's such a strong front row. He always puts in a good performance.
Didn't quite go under the radar there, did you? But had a little think back. Yeah, I agree with you, mate. He's a real class player. And like he says, there's so many decent players in that pack that he can kind of get overlooked. He's kind of, one cog, a part of a bigger machine type thing. But yeah, showed up really well and was kind of excellent. Like you say, he's a real decent player and a handy person to have in your squad, I think.
Definitely so, mate. Moving on, I was looking at the other four games this weekend. The South Sydney Bunnies 36, the Gold Coast Titans 6. Pretty much as it reads, the Bunnies once again totally dominant. The Titans couldn't really get out of the traps. Toby Sexton, we're a bit up against it. We know what he's been like the past couple of weeks. He's been really dominant in there with the ball in hand. But, you come up against arguably the best partnership in the league, really, outside of a fit Luai and Cleary. But Walker and Reynolds are just absolutely incredible. They've got the trail out back doing what he does. Outside back scoring for fun. Damien Cook's on a decent run at the minute, and the pack works the back side off. It's just incredible what this Bunnies side are actually doing at the minute, and it's almost more incredible that they go out of form early on in the season. It makes you think, is Bennett doing this on purpose sometimes? But Titans just couldn't get out the traps. David Fita were totally neutralised in defence. So impressed with how the Bunnies kind of almost triple-teamed him at times, which is what you need to do. But you need that line speed on Fifita. You need to kind of block the quick play of the balls that are getting to him. They did that time and time again. The only time they managed to break through, Fifita knocked on over the line. Bit of question marks there if it should have been a bit of a penalty or a penalty try, but it wouldn't have made that much of a difference either way. Usual suspects with the points. Latrell Mitchell, 5 points. He was my player of the weekend. Adam Reynolds, four. Cody Walker, three. Like I said, it's all the same names. Tavita Totola, two. Top forward then. And the Rabbits keeping him for another couple of years, which is spot on from them. And then Braden Burns, one. He's the first point he's got for us this season. Played well. Just kind of anyone who plays in that back line at the minute is going to score. But he got another couple of tries. Maybe even a hat-trick, actually, now that I think about it. But top player, good player, and he's going to bag playing outside. Them staff, playmakers. Coming on to the next game, I'm absolutely wounded that Jed's not here because I would have loved to bask in this win. Granted, we weren't fantastic, but a win's a win. It was the North Queensland Cowboys 16, the West Tigers 24. Comparing our win this week against the Bulldogs last week, I actually thought we played better against the Bulldogs. Cowboys obviously have more potent quality. They've got a bit of better attacking line than the Bulldogs do have. But Tigers, we were just a bit stronger in attack, really. It sounds a bit simple, but with the likes of Utoy Kamanu and Jacob Liddle played really well, and Alex Twal was really, really good in attack as well. The Cowboys just couldn't deal with this. Adam Dewey, spot on, our player of the season. He's actually crawling up our player of the season charts as well, I've noticed. He's, I think he's third or fourth now. He picks up a lot of good points for the Tigers. We just slackened off very much so in the last 10 or 15 minutes more than anything else, which is pretty normal for us. But we were kind of lucky that the Cowboys just didn't have the goods in the bag more than anything else. I did have a brief chat with Jed and I explained that they just don't stand up anymore, really. They've got the likes of Al Holmes, they've got the likes of Helium Lukey, Ben Hampton played probably his best game in a long, long time, but they were just well far behind it by the time that we were up. So, yes, I've gone with Adam Dewey, 5 points. Val Holmes, 4 points, because he worked his backside off going into the back end. Stefano Utoikamanu, who is definitely a future representative prop forward for me, top, top player. Kim Mamalo, 2 points, another really good performance from Big Ken. And then Ben Hampton, 1 point. And then the two Sunday games, it was the New Zealand Warriors, 24. Canterbury Rackstown Bulldogs, 10. What more can you say about the Bulldogs? I feel like we might as well just stick a copy and paste in there every week. Try the backsides off, don't have the quality, work hard for a good portion of the game, and then didn't score a single point in the second half. Same old every single week. And the Warriors, they keep plugging away. They keep plugging away. I can't believe that they're doing it. And they're getting ever so close to the playoffs as well. You've mentioned it already, mate. Josh Curran, Ewan Aitken, Reece Walsh, these names every week at the minute. Ewan Aitken, I did actually spot a really good stat online. It proves what type of centre and second rower he is. He ran the ball 20 times but didn't pass it once. So I think that's maybe a reason why he's been moved into the second row at the minute. Obviously, Tohu Harris has got to come back at the start of next year, and I don't think he'll be there much longer. But I think that's why people get frustrated with him in the centre position, because he doesn't pass as much as he should. Bulldogs, if they lose this coming weekend, they've won the spoon. It's been pretty much in the bag, hasn't it, for a good portion of the season. Warriors are an outside chance now. They're 2 points off the playoffs. They've gone, is it 3 wins in a row, Woody, actually?
Definitely three. Two or three
wins in a row, anyway. So they've got the momentum, especially since Tuivasa Sheck has packed in and gone to Union. But there we go. So Josh Curran, 5 points. Reece Walsh, 4. Ewan Aitken, 3. 3 best players for me at the minute. Aaron Shoup, 2, just because I really like that surname. But he had a really good game in the outside backs, got over 150 running metres. And someone who hadn't really stood out for me at all, to be fair. When I did watch this game, he stood out. Probably Bulldogs' best player on the day. And then adding Fanua Blake, who's picking up just a bit of form at the back end of the season. Obviously, he had that terrible knee injury at the start of the year and just hadn't really picked it up. And it's the first time in a while that he's got over 100 running metres as well, which has been a very much unlike him in the past couple of years, but he's definitely picking up. And then what I thought might be the game of the round, and it was the second half was superb, actually. It was Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 14, Newcastle Knights 16. I said in the past couple of weeks, there's one game every weekend now where two teams are going to be facing each other. They're battling it out for that 7th and 8th spot, and this was that one this weekend. And they definitely both look like it as well. Cronulla Sharks, I did feel for them a bit because they worked really, really hard in that first half and even kind of the first 10 minutes of the second half. But Newcastle have so much quality. And I do quite like Newcastle because they've obviously had so many years. I think three wooden spoons on the trot. Caelan Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, Bradman Best, when they're all fit, it's brilliant to see. They've got one of the most hard-working forward packs in the league as well. And that comes up in volumes as well. Mitch Barnett got 5 points for me. Jacob Saifiti, 4. Jesse Ramian and Connor Tracy, 3 and 2 from the Sharks. And Caelan Ponga, 1. Connor Tracy, superb. He once again got moved from number 6 to the wing in short notice. And just the Newcastle Knights, they do have a bit of an injury in Daniel Saifiti. We'll talk about that a bit later on, I'm sure. But Jacob Saifiti stepped up. Newcastle just have a really underrated pack. And fair play to them. They've got another 2 points there. They're now 2 points clear in the playoffs. And I'll read out the league table to you, Woody. Obviously, we're getting to the squeaky bum time of the NRL season now. So we've got Melbourne, Penrith and Bunnies, who are guaranteed top three spaces. Now, they all can finish minor premiers, but we'll see how that goes. We've got the Roosters in 4th on 30. Manly and Parramatta, 5th and 6th on 28. Newcastle, 7th on 22. And then Gold Coast and Canberra in 9th on 20. And then we've got a right backlog of Cronulla, Dragons, Warriors and Tigers on 18. And then North Queensland, Brisbane and the Bulldogs on 14, 12 and 6. So, you know, you're looking there, would it? Newcastle down to Tigers still can be in the playoffs. There's only Cowboys, Broncos and Bulldogs who are unable to get there now. I'm still on the Tigers train. I will be much more confident next week if we get a good result against the Cronulla Sharks. But we're still in with it, mate. We're still 2 points out. Obviously, points difference is a bit crap for us at the minute. But I just want to see if you've got any Tigers players in your player of the week, in your team of the week. We are going to bring that in here. We're still going to release it on social media, but we're going to release it now on the podcast.
We are, yeah. And just reading out the points in the league table, I saw a bit of an interesting stat earlier that the 20 point gap between first and eighth is the largest difference since 2007. So 2007, at this point, Storm had 44 points and Broncos had 24. Now Storm are on 40 and Titans are on 20. So kind of shows the way the season's gone, doesn't it? And there's a big spate of blowouts and whatnot. So there's a massive discrepancy between that, well, the top three and the rest, really. But yeah, it's massively opened that playoff race, and Tigers definitely not down and out yet. And you'd kind of be a brave man to pick who you think are going to finish seventh and eighth, I think. And I said to you earlier, lucky the Eels had a decent start at the start of the season, because I said if the season started, 10 rounds later, we'd be nowhere near that top eight.
So, your bets at the minute, mate, who's going to finish seventh and eighth with three games to go?
I still fancy the Raiders to sneak in there. And we're saying that Newcastle 2 points ahead of Titans. I would have said Raiders and Titans maybe, but genuinely no idea. I'll say Tigers for you, mate. Keep you happy.
Yes, mate.
Oh, then your chance now to see if any Tigers players did sneak in my team of the week. And there's a lot of familiar suspects in here. Same old players sneaking in every week. I'll start from one and run down to 13. And like every week, the fullback position is so hard to pick. And, I do think about sneaking some of the other players in different positions and that. I don't think Latrell has been into my team of the week very often, because Turbo's normally on a mad one, or Teddy's doing something, or Nico Hines is often the best player for Storm, isn't he, getting our 5 points. But I had Teddy in first and Teddy / Turbo, but I went with Turbo. Might as well hammer the nail in a bit more into the Eels. And again, he was absolutely class. Read out some of his numbers there and stuff, and helped his team rack up 56 points. Oh God, it hurts to mention it. Onto the wings then. I had Bailey Simonson on one wing. Like I mentioned, he got a hat trick. None of them were kind of mega far out and stuff, but really good finisher. Nearly got another one as well. And then Ruben Garrick on the other wing mentioned. I think that back three is one of the best in the competition. And I think Ruben Garrick's really upped his game, and he's got the record for points for Manly in a season already, hasn't he? And he's
by a lot, lot.
280 or something. He's going to cruise past 300 at this rate, and be pushing for one of the most points ever for a player in a season. He's had a few games where he's got 30 odd points and stuff, hasn't he? And he's got like 70 points over a 2 week spell and stuff. So centres then.
And I'm going to say that's a club like Manly who've got a big history and big players who scored big points as well. So that is no easy feat. Fair play to Ruben Garrick for that.
Yeah, it is crazy numbers. In the centres then, I had Matt Burton at one. Like I said, class again this week. And he's kind of back to the form he had early on in the season, now that some of the other players are coming back around him. And Braden Burns, you mentioned in there, of his first player of the year points, got him at the other centre position. Thought he showed up really well. Halves then, and it is two very usual suspects in Cody Walker and Daly Cherry Evans. Again, got to stick some more Manly players in there, because they did absolutely smash us, and we're meant to be so-called playoff contenders as well. And Cody Walker's just been on absolute flames for weeks and weeks now. Him and Reynolds, his numbers are ridiculous. The amount of try assists he has, I think he's over 10 ahead of the next best player of try assists, but that is Turbo with about 10 less games. Props then, and I've got Adam Fanua-Blake. Now, you mentioned him there, coming back from the injury and stuff, and having his best sort of standout game for a while. Payne Haas, the other proposition then, like, he's Broncos standout player every week and kind of so close to dragging them to a win this week. Brandon Smith in at hooker then. Again, he's been absolutely awesome recently, bouncing players for fun, making hundreds of metres out of dummy half every week. Into the second row then, Josh Curran, obviously in there, my player of the round, so he's definitely in there. And Mitch Barnett next to him as well. I know you cast your eye over that game. I thought he was really good this week as well. And then in the 13 shirt, Alex Twow, just for you.
I must say,
Adam Dewey was very close as well. Kind of had a Cody Walker / Adam Dewey for a while, but yeah, snuck you one Tiger in there, mate.
I was wondering if you were going to put Big Stefano in, but I appreciate Haas and who else was it?
Adam Fanua-Blake.
Yeah, fair enough. You can't really argue with that, to be fair. But yeah, Alex Twell has really stepped up. There's an obviously, I follow a lot of Tigers Twitter online, and there's a big joke because I can't remember how many games, but he's at about 60 or 70 NRL games and never scored. So there's a couple of people who put like 20, 50 quid on our dollars every single week for him to score, and he's just not bagging. But one week he will bag, and Tigers Twitter is going to go absolutely mental. But top player, and really, really good bloke, apparently. Him and Dewey are really good blokes outside, really good mates outside of the off the field as well. So it's always good to see that as well. Moving on to Super League, we'll cast through the scores. And obviously, there's a couple of decent surprises in there, Woody, as well. And then we'll go through the league table afterwards. First game of the weekend, mate. St. Helens 10, Casford Tigers 20. That is a huge result in terms of Super League and Casford Tigers in general. Catalan Dragons 31, Hull FC 16. Big win for Catalan Dragons again. Another upset for me personally. Salford Red Devils 18, Huddersfield Giants 12. And we go again. Another upset, mate. Hull Kingston Rovers 26, Wigan Warriors 14, Leeds Centurions 10, and Leeds Rhinos 46. And the game of the weekend, hands down, purely because I was there to watch it live. Wakefield Trinity 28, Warrington Wolves 22. Big, big result for us. I mean, you know, whether there's going to be relegation or not this year, Lee looked pretty dead and buried, but that's a big result for us to get our fifth win of the season and pretty much clear us from finishing in bottom spot. But, you know, Warrington, they had George Williams, Gareth Widdop in the half, Stephen Ratchford, Mike Cooper, Chris Hill, Darrell Clark wasn't playing, but they had Danny Walker as well. You know, big, big talents. And we just outclassed them in every regard, apart from maybe the last 10 minutes where we slackened off a bit. But anything that caught your eye this week, Woody? I know we're going to talk about a few bits a bit later on, but kind of a round of upsets more than anything else.
Yeah, like you say, mate, you know, you got 4 out of 6 upsets in, then a few really big upsets. Same before, just I've no idea what kind of Castleford team are going to turn up every week. And I think I've predicted their result wrong pretty much every single week this season. And you reliably tell me that's their first win at Saints in 30 years, I think, was it?
It is, mate, yeah.
A mega result, yeah. And a decent week for Castleford because they obviously beat Leeds away the week before. So that's a decent little run for them, man. Don't know if the playoffs might be a stretch too far for them. We know they've played a lot more games than the likes of Hull KR, but in a decent run of form anyway. Again, I'm with you that the Salford game surprised me as well. I thought Huddersfield were picking up a bit of form recently and looking a lot better. So I kind of didn't see that one come in. And yeah, Hull KR Wigan. And, you know, Hull KR have been in decent form for a while. They're up in the top six. Wigan have lost a few in the previous weeks, but that's a real mega result for them. And I think I know we talked earlier on in the season about whether Ryan Hall could catch Danny Maguire's record. And no, I'm adamant he will before he retires if he plays another couple of years going like this. And he's top try scorer by 2 or 3 in there at the minute, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, mate. How many behind Zip Maguire?
About 30, maybe, but
I mean, that's at least you can a season and a half, 2 seasons worth, mate. Yeah, definitely. Obviously, for anybody that's listening that's unaware, Super League is based on percentage wins this year just because of COVID fixtures getting cancelled. So, league table stands, Catalan Dragons top, St. Helens second, Warrington Wolves third, Wigan Warriors fourth, Hull Kingston Rovers in fifth, Leeds Rhinos sixth, Hull FC seventh, Casford Tigers eighth. And then the bottom four, Huddersfield Giants, Salford Red Devils, Wakefield Trinity and Lee Centurions. So that wraps up kind of our highlights in terms of who we thought were stood out in the round and kind of results and tables and whatnot. We're going to kind of general I can't even get my words out, would it? General topics, kind of discussion topics of the week that was, what stood out for us. And I think, obviously, for you, it stood out. It kind of the news broke last week that there was rumours that Clint Gutherson's agent was trying to get him a contract for the next couple of years worth $1 million. You're a big Eels fan. We know that. Obviously, Clint Gutherson is nicknamed the King down at the Parramatta Eels. Is he worth $1 million, though, mate?
Priceless. No, I said not for me. And you know how much I love the King. And I think the way it's going in recent weeks is values plummeting week on week, isn't it? It's not him being a standout, terrible player or anything, but the team's just not functioning. I can't remember when he, you know, was last the player of the match or really took a game by the scruff. And I think because he took a fairly big pay cut on his last contract, obviously kind of wants to make up for that deficit now, I'm guessing. And I was looking at, you know, the big five fullbacks, say Turbo, Teddy, Latrell, Kalen Ponga and Ryan Pappenhausen, and their average salary between those five is just below the 1 million mark. So for Guffo to be worth that, he'd have to, you know, consistently be as good or better than those five to warrant that fee. And obviously, I'm very hopeful he's staying. I can't see anyone else offering him that sort of money. But, you know, the club's an absolute mess at the minute. And he's saying he's not come out and said that. His agent's saying they've not said that. Paul Kent said there's been big arguments about which hotel rooms the players have been getting, and that's why there's a big stink at the club at the minute. But not for me, mate. What do you think then? I assume you'd be in the no camp as well.
Yeah, mate. I think if you're going to offer, you almost need to rationalise it in terms of what is a $1 million player. You know, you look at Turbo, you look at Tedesco, you look at it's not only game-changing players, but it's someone who's going to kind of have a direct influence on the outcome of the game. Gutherson does have that on occasions, but especially when you look at him playing at representative level, he doesn't have that sort of impact. You know, he's a big player for Parramatta, but he just doesn't seem to do it week in, week out. And I won't say he goes missing in the bigger games, but he's definitely got less of an influence. I don't know him as a bloke. I don't know what he's like, but I feel as though for him to take $1 million of that, out of that club that is waning for a premiership for the first time in, you know, in almost 40 years or whatever it is, would be pretty disgusting of him. So I really hope it's not true. I'm with you in that one. I don't think he's worth $1 million. I don't think there are many players who's worth $1 million, but no, not for me, mate, not for me. Coming up, we kind of spoke about this a bit earlier on, but the Melbourne Storm have broken the NRL winning streak. Obviously, we class NRL as from 1998 onwards when they broke away from the ARL. I'll go first, mate, but I've never seen anything like it. Seriously, you know, I think they need three more wins, is it, to break the overall all-time record? I think the Roosters did it maybe in the 60s or 70s. I can't remember. It might even be two more wins, actually. You might correct me on that one. But genuinely just so impressive. And never mind, you know, you've got the Volandes ball, the six agains, the rule changes and whatnot, allowing for kind of blowout results and what people are excusing. But the Melbourne Storm and Craig Bellamy still have to adapt to this as the same as everybody else does. They've still sold big players. They've lost big players recently out of retirement, out of injury and whatnot as well. But they still adapt perfectly and continuously just seem to churn out performances even when the best players are out. You know, Papenhuis and Harry Grant have been on the sidelines for half the season, mate. But I appreciate you've not watched as much NRL over the years as you'd like to. But have you ever really seen anything like this?
I don't think so. No. And you do kind of run out of superlatives from as well. And I know mentioning from this week, it's impressive. They've won in a lot of different ways, different lineups. Players have been filling in. They've had young players, used a lot of their squad as well, and, you know, still managed to get over the line every week. And their next three fixtures, Titans, Eels, Sharks. You know, I mean, the Eels is an absolute gimme, but you're looking at another three wins there in the run to the final. So you say probably will take that streak or equal that overall streak. I know early on in the season, you know, maybe eight rounds in, you and Jed kind of said the Panthers were one of the best NRL teams you'd seen, definitely at the minute. And you know, have Storm now taken that mantle for you?
They probably have, mate, to be fair. It's difficult. I wish you could have seen the early on Panthers team against this Melbourne team, because they both obviously started and ended quite differently. Panthers have definitely been affected by the Origin period and losing all them players and clearly getting injured and Fisher Harris going outside of the bubble and everything as well. But you know, that's why you have big squads. That's what we said, obviously, when Penrith were coming out of it. The Roosters have been affected. The Bunnies have been affected. Melbourne have been affected. But Melbourne have continued and just broke through. And the mould for that club and the philosophy of that club and the pathways that they developed from kind of lower grades and recruitment from, you know, Queensland Cup. And it's just mind-blowingly beautiful, almost. It sounds daft talking about it like that. But they just do everything right. And you know, there's rumours of a new team coming into the NRL in the next 2 years or so. And I hope they copy that model, because it works. And obviously, Melbourne were a new team 25 years ago. And look at them now. They're arguably the biggest brand in rugby league. Everybody knows who Melbourne Storm are. Much like, you know, 15 years ago, everybody knew Brisbane Broncos were. Everybody knows Billy Slater. Everybody's heard of Cameron Smith. Everybody's heard of so-and-so. They are just the epitome of what a rugby league club is. So yes, mate, I think they're just mind-blowing, and unless they come up against, you know, a kind of, they've still got Manly to come up against, I guess, in the playoffs potentially. They've still got the Bunnies, they've still got Penrith. It's going to be really entertaining playoffs for me, but I can't bet against Melbourne at the minute. Looking at Penrith, mate, they had Nathan Cleary back this week. Obviously, been out for a couple of weeks now with that shoulder injury. There were a couple of question marks. But he came back and he quite a strong return for him, mate, wasn't it? What did you think of his performance?
Yeah, he slotted back in really well, and it's good to see him back playing, you know, especially at this stage of the season. You want the game's best players involved. He said, had a fairly decent outing, but it might have got a bit lucky at avoiding a suspension for a bit of a shoulder charge on Jack Bird. I don't know if you saw that one, but he didn't get anything from it, judiciary or didn't get on report.
Yeah, I've seen much worse, but I've also seen a lot less in the amount that they've been penalised for it. You know, you don't want to go down the conspiracy route, but you do wonder if it was Joe Bloggs who did that tackle would have been pinged for it. You know, it's Nathan Cleary, kind of the face of the NRL, but, you know, straight visually, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything too bad for me. But you've seen them given. The bunker and the judiciary system in the NRL is so up and down sometimes. You've just seen them given, haven't you? And you wouldn't have been surprised if he got penalised for it.
No, but I thought it was probably likely that he would and might cop a week or something, but he has avoided it anyway. So, you know, like I said, decent time for him to get back in the playoff run now. And hopefully, like you just said then, when Storm and Panthers do inevitably come up against each other, they have full strength teams out and we get to see what happens then when they throw down.
Definitely, mate. You watched the Roosters and the Broncos for us. Well, actually, I watched it as well, but you covered it for us. But flipping heck, what a finish. I mean, the game in general was a really good, solid game of rugby league, but that last 10 to 15 minutes was an absolute bonfire.
Yeah, it was hectic. And like I said earlier, when I kind of brushed over the game, if anyone's not seen it yet and you don't have time to watch the full game, just go and watch the last 10 minutes. Three lead changes in the final 8 minutes. Sam Walker drops a goal to put Roosters a point up. Then Victor Radley gives a pen away for diving at Albert Kelly's legs when he's trying to kick a drop goal. Cobbo kicks the points, put them back in the lead. And then in the last minute, Tedesco uses his captain's challenge to get a Flegler high shot on Tupanua, turned into a penalty. And then Adam Kieran kicks the winner. I know, you know, Roosters have struggled a bit with their goal kicking this year, which is, you know, a bit of a strange one, but a decent kick over. And they just about squeak that win. A lot of controversy in there and was manic. And like I say, your big prediction was so close to coming true.
So I actually balled it on the Instagram, I think. I did Jed's previews this week and I did ball it a bit, but I could just see it happening because Brisbane are picking up steam at the minute. In the form that they're in, they're not a second bottom side, in my opinion. But just a bit of a side note, mate, similar thing to kind of Isaac Liu. But Adam Kieran, he's had a really good, solid season this year. I think the likes of him and Drew Hutchinson have really stepped up in the likes of, you know, Luke Carey being injured and people retiring and whatnot as well. What's your thoughts on Adam Kieran? He definitely deserves a starting spot, doesn't he, in the NRL?
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's a really handy squad player. I know earlier on in the season he was useful coming off the interchange, but I'm with you that he, you know, deserves to start each week and stuff. And yeah, I really rate him as well and nicked the winner in this one as well. Decent goal kicker as well.
Definitely, mate. Talking about decent goal kickers, Adam Reynolds. We could talk about it until we're blue in the face. Why the effing hell is he moving clubs? But is this his best season, mate? It's been a bit of a talking point. I've seen Andrew Johns talking about it. We know that the 2014 season when they won the grand final, you were out of this world. But he's approaching that type of form again, isn't he?
I think I'm with you there. And I think I'd say it probably is his best season. Obviously, see how it ends up. He might get to a grand final, might win a premiership. But yeah, on his basis form, him and Cody Walker, we mentioned earlier, been on fire for ages now. And Reynolds has been one of the standouts in that team. Like you say, his goal kicking's been superb as well and won them a lot of games. And I know you just said it then and we say it nearly every week, but I just cannot believe they're not keeping hold of him. You'd think he was, you know, into his last few years and turning 35 or something, but he's only just turned 31 last week. How could you not find 2 or 3 years for him, especially in this form?
I do worry for the Bunnies as well. I saw Wayne Bennett come out in his press conference and you think of all the years that he's been coaching, he actually came out and said Cody Walker is one of the best players he's ever coached. So that is a huge, huge compliment for Cody Walker, and it's probably only going to do him the world of good as well.
Yeah, big time. And looking back to Origin as well, when they're kind of looking for two halves, I'm surprised they didn't just stick that pairing in there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, mate. It's one of them things, isn't it, I think. Talking about kind of the age of players and everything as well, obviously watching the Tigers demolish the North Queensland Cowboys this week. I was speaking to you and Jed, obviously, in the WhatsApp as well, and Tigers are slowly building a good development type of team. I think over the next couple of years, if they kind of nurture quite well, we could be quite promising. Just looking at our starting pack, mate, Thomas McKayley, 23, Jacob Liddell, 24, Stefano Utoikamanu, 21, Luciano Leilua and Alex Twal, 25, and Sean Blaw, 21. We had Tuki Simpkins, who's 19, and Jake Simpkin, 19 as well, on the bench. Really impressive. I know you probably don't watch the Tigers as much as I do, but, you know, you look at them and there's some good standout players in there as well. It's, dare I say, it's looking quite promising for us.
Big time, yeah. And like you say, looking at the kind of age range there, they've got so much more improving and learning to go. And I mentioned to you earlier, Oitu Kumano, probably butchered the pronunciation, but I'm gutted the Eels lost him, to be honest. Like, really, really would have liked to keep hold of him, and especially at the minute, could have done with a player like him.
It was one of these players with Stefano that I used to always see his names in, like, you know, young guns or ones to watch, and I always just assumed he would come into the Parramatta side, but he always seemed to evade it for a season or two, and then we somehow picked him up last year, and he's still only 21, and his destructive force. He did get dropped in the middle of the season to a bit of question marks. No one really knew why, but come back in, and he's destroying teams a bit. And like I say, 21, and these type of players are lasting, you know, another 10 years at the minute in comparison to that. You know, you look at that, he's 10 years younger than Adam Reynolds. So very, very promising for us, mate. Let's look at a thing that's not as much promising. And we've written down more kind of the Parramatta Eels right side, but it's just your defence in general, mate, isn't it?
I just don't get it. It's not worked for pretty much 2 years now, the way we try and play, but especially lately, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks. And now, earlier on in the season, kind of trying to pick out individual players, like Blake Ferguson was struggling and Wonga Blake was struggling. But whichever player's in there, whoever's on that right side, it's just a joke. And, you know, playing up and in, leaving kind of 20 metres of space out there and 2 or 3 on 1s, and the halves that are playing against us and the fullbacks, and that they've got the skill set to throw those passes quite easily. And yeah, just I can't get my head around it at the minute, and it's doing my head in, like, every week. Just left-hand winger making breaks and breaks against us, easy tries out there. And it's so frustrating. I don't know why we're so stubborn at trying something different or just staying on the wing, basically. What are your thoughts on it, mate?
It's worrying, isn't it, mate? Like you say, it's obviously just a total lack of communication, a total lack of structure. I mean, we played university rugby for, you know, however long, couple of years, but these guys are getting paid week in, week out. And what I'm going to say is at university, you get taught structure, you get taught how to move as a pair or move as a trio, communicate constantly. People do it amateur level, people do it semi-pro. These blokes just don't seem to be doing it. They train day in, day out with each other, getting paid big money, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. I can't grasp it. Earlier on this season, you seem to be really solid, and we spoke about Maratini Okere in that centre position being better than Wonga Blake. We know Wonga Blake's an attacking centre. He's not known for his defensive capabilities, but everything around them is just collapsing. It wouldn't be fair to really blame Blake. I do worry. I think the question marks will be this weekend. You've had some really tough games, obviously, in the past couple of weeks. You've got the Cowboys this week, who are the worst team on form in the league. Obviously, Jed will be back next week, so if you don't win that, then that'll be it for you. I think that'll be it, you packing your bags. But I think it's gonna the test is going to come this week, mate. You've got the playoffs, aren't you? But you do worry. If you come up against a team like Newcastle, are you confident in the playoffs against someone like them?
No, not confident against anyone at the minute of the way we're playing, honestly. Scared that we've got the playoffs, to be honest. Really shame we've secured it so early. But yeah, like you say, it's not, you can't even pick out any individual players. Whoever comes in, if it's Oldfield or Hayes Dunster out there, Opacek, Wonga Blake, it's just the whole system just doesn't work. And I don't understand why we refuse to make a change on our defensive structure.
It's crazy stuff. We'll see how we go next week, mate. I was just looking this week online once again. Reece Walsh, top player, and he'll be a top player for years to come. I've seen a lot of people trying to compare him to the likes of Caelan Ponga, Benji Marshall, Sean Johnson. What's your opinions on kind of comparisons of new talent against kind of older talent or more established talent? Do you think it does them good? Do you think it's unnecessary pressure?
I think it can depend on the player, really, can't it? And he seems like a very confident, kind of almost cocky type of player. So, I mean, people are kind of obsessed with comparisons, aren't they? And he's the new whoever, as opposed to just he's Reece Walsh type thing. But yeah, doesn't seem to be doing him any harm anyway, and you can see why some of these comparisons come from anyway.
I just feel sometimes people do it for a bit of a headline or just even a bit of a writer's block, and they just end up trying to write something for the sake of it. I'm sure we've done it, if I'm honest, but I do try my best to stay away from it. I just enjoy kind of the player for what they are, but because when you try and compare him, he's a totally different player to what Benji was when he was younger, or even Caelan Ponga. I do get the Caelan Ponga comparisons, but I think Walsh is just a totally different attacker. Ponga kind of works on a step, but Walsh works in his pace and space spotting more than anything else. But yeah, I don't like it, mate. I just don't like the comparisons. And you know, you look at over the years, we mentioned it on the podcast last week, Brody Croft, Kyle Flanagan, just getting constantly compared, and some of these blokes just can't deal with it, and I don't think it's fair to even do it. So yeah, it's good to get your opinion on that as well, especially next week when you start calling Clint Gutherson the kind of the next Tom Turbo and it the Cowboys.
If only.
Coming on to a bloke who's really stood out for me. Once again, I seem to watch Newcastle quite a lot of the past couple of weeks, but it's the Saifiti, but maybe not the one everybody's expecting. It's Jacob Saifiti, and to me, he's one of the most improved front rowers in the game. He's always been a good, solid front rower, but obviously been a bit outshined by his brother, who's, you know, Daniel Saifiti, plays for Australia, plays for New South Wales. But he's arguably been up there along with his brother, especially since the Origin series, mate. I don't know if you've watched Newcastle as much as kind of I have over the past couple of weeks, but he's certainly churning out some really big performances.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Obviously, picking up the slack when Daniel isn't in there as well, and they kind of need a big prop to turn to. And I think Knights are lucky to have them both in this one. I know they both signed new contracts. I think Jacob's got another 2 years maybe, and Daniel another four. And I think Jacob's got a few Fiji caps, but what are your thoughts on whether he could be an Origin rep in the next few years maybe?
Yeah, I mean, their ages elude me, and I can't think how old they are. But if they're still kind of young to mid-20s, I don't see why not. It rings a bell that they might be late 20s and it could be a bit too late for him. But if he keeps churning them out, and if Newcastle can just keep some blooming blokes on the field and get some good performances, I don't see why not, mate. Because it's just one of them things where he seems to pick up. I wonder if it's a bit of a sibling rivalry. I do think that, because I've never been lucky enough. I don't have a brother, so I don't know what it's like being on the field as your brother. But that Knights pack at the minute, with the likes of Barnett, Clemmer, Jaden Brayley's a top player, Lachlan Fitzgibbon when he's fit, Daniel Saifiti, you know, probably missed someone else, Connor Watson as well. There's such a hard-working forward pack in general that I feel as though he probably has to step up. So, yeah, mate, I think, depending on his age, it's quite poor for me, not knowing his age, but I don't see why not, mate, if he picks up them performances.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Be interesting to see it as well. Like I said, I know he's got a few Fiji caps, but he might be looking towards Australia and New South Wales anyway.
Spot on, mate. Just moving briefly on to Super League, we did go over it a bit. Casford's first win against St Helens in 30 years. Should St Helens be kind of worried about this loss, or is it just kind of one of them where it's just a bit of an unlucky loss?
Maybe a bit worried, I guess, yeah. Obviously, don't want to lose to anyone, especially not a side who've not beaten you at home in 30 years, but I think Saints will be fine. And like I said earlier, just, you never know which cast are going to turn up, but in a seven-day period, they've won at Leeds and won at Saints. So I imagine the fans kind of can't believe their luck at the minute. And like I said, they could still possibly make the playoffs, but kind of running out of games a bit, cast. But yeah, it's promising anyway, and a decent few results for them.
Definitely so, mate. And finally, coming on to my team, Wakefield Trinity. Obviously, for anybody that's unaware, our coach, Chris Chester, was given his papers this week. I think he actually had a year extra on his contract. He's managed to get paid out. Willie Poachin stepped in for the interim role, mate. But there's a couple of people up for the gig, I've heard. Kind of Brian McDermott, obviously, is always a favoured one. Danny Ward, the ex-London Broncos coach. I'll ask you first, mate, before you probably bounce it back at me. But who do you think would probably suit Wakefield more? Do you reckon they should kind of go for someone totally left field?
I think maybe Danny Ward, possibly, after the kind of job he did at Broncos. But also, I don't know if Willie Poachin would maybe be a shout to get the role permanently, I've been reading recently. But it's kind of what a difference a kind of change of coach can make, and, you know, a bit of a freshen up in the environment. And I mean, you're the fan of them, so who would you prefer to see? I mean, do you think Willie Poachin is a shout for the permanent role if he'd want it?
Yeah, mate, to be fair, Willie Poachin never really came to mind, even though obviously I know he's on the coaching staff. But if we perform like yesterday for the rest of the season, then I don't see why not. Brian McDermott's got the credentials. We all know that. But we also know that he obviously had a very strong squad at Leeds who pretty much kind of coached and led themselves with the likes of Sinfield, Peacock, Maguire, Burrow, Buchanan and the like. But it's difficult. I think if we're going to go for young and fresh, I'd go for Danny Ward. He deserves another chance in Super League. He's a Wakefield bloke. He's born in Wakefield as well. He's obviously played for Leeds, which is a bit unfortunate. But I'd like to see him. Obviously, he's been at a club that's been at the bottom of Super League before. He's been on tight budgets. But I think it's probably going to be between them three. I've seen Lee Breers chucked about as well. I think he's recently left Warrington, I believe. Andrew Henderson I've seen thrown about as well, who is currently the Warrington assistant coach. So we'll see. Obviously, it's quite rare that a big job like this comes up in rugby league. So I imagine there's quite a lot going to be going for it. But I just want it to make sense, and I want them to enjoy working for the club. So you know, your likes of McDermott and Ward, who were both born in Wakefield, would be no-brainers for me. But we shall see. And like I say, if Willie Poaching grabs a win this coming week against Castleford, then give him the keys to the city, mate. So yes, that is the general discussion topics. We'll move on very briefly, mate. We're going to the naughty corner. We've had a couple of red cards and a couple of suspensions this week, mate. Well, I'll let you start off with a couple of the red cards.
Yeah, and there were a few bad ones in there, really, if no one's seen yet. But we had one in Super League and a couple over in NRL as well. So, we had Ryan Matteson sent off for the Eels, which is probably one of the worst shots you'll see. And kind of, it's maybe not difficult, but he's probably been one of our kind of only consistent performers this year. But he's had a bit of a brain implosion, like the Eels are imploding at the minute, and he's going to be out for 4 weeks suspended now, definitely. And Corey Harrowe and Naira as well. No argument with that one. It's a really horrible looking one. And he's come out and said himself he's disgusted with himself. So you kind of know it was bad. And I know Jerome Hughes accepted his apology and stuff. So, you know, kind of that was good to read. But that's definitely worthy of a four-game ban as well. It's a nasty looking one. And I guess you've seen both of those, but neither of those were great, those two, were they?
No, I did. Yeah, Corey Harrowe and Naira, I think it was a bit of frustration, a bit too over-aggressive. And especially this day and age, you're never getting away with something like that. I think it was just so daft. Ryan Matteson, I do think it was a red card, but I do think it was a tad unlucky that, was it Brad Parker? I can't remember who the actual player was. He gets clipped around the hips about a millisecond before Matteson hits him, and he kind of drops a bit into Matteson's shoulder. This day and age, you're almost expected to adjust as quickly as you can, I guess, and you probably shouldn't be leading with the shoulder either way. So I won't say he's unlucky. He did deserve the red card, but I think Harrowe and Ira was more deserving of Matteson, mate. And did you see the Tommy Makinson one? Obviously, for anybody unaware, we've actually got Tommy Makinson on the podcast this coming Thursday, but Tommy Makinson for a red card as well. What did you think of that one?
I did see it, yeah. And like you say, because we're releasing our interview with him soon, I tried not to kind of go in too hard on him. And, you know, kind of reading it, it seems to have caused loads of debate, this one. Well, mainly fans saying it definitely shouldn't be a red card, but kind of looked fairly clear cut to me. It was late, high, a bit of a shoulder charge. And I think the main thing was it was reckless, but it's kind of pointless as well. And you know, the ball had gone. And I think it's fine that is a red card, but obviously needs to be the consistency as well. If that's a sending off, then those types of hits are always a sending off. I don't know if you agreed on that one as well.
Mate, I've got two words written down, and that's mistimed and reckless. I totally agree. I think the Harry Weir and Ira Matteson are very different challenges to this. And I think Makinson's just shot out the... I think he's probably shot out the line. Halfway out, he's realised he's made a mistake and then thought, I've got to make some sort of hit here. The ball's gone past him. He's mistimed it. It's a bad shot, to be fair. We've all had them type of shots on us, haven't we? And they're a bell ringer. So he'll know. He's a veteran. He's been going for a long time. And I'm sure if we dropped a message, he'd be disappointed with that red card as well. Coming again, you know, Mr. Suspension himself, Victor Radley, mate. He was part of that hectic last 10 minutes for the Broncos against the Roosters. For anybody unaware, Albert Kelly is kind of, I think he was going for a drop goal, wasn't he, mate? Victor Radley goes in for kind of a block, kind of a charge down, mistimed it, took the legs out from underneath Albert Kelly, and it actually resulted in a penalty. And Victor Radley has been suspended for a couple of games as well on the back of that. What was your thoughts on it, mate?
Another one, suspension for Victor Radley in here, but it is a bit of a strange one. And, you know, it's not the normal kind of textbook high shots, whatever, that he has been suspended for before. And, you know, the intention's obviously to block Albert Kelly's drop goal attempt, which they do. He misses it. You know, he could stay big and high and, you know, try and block it kind of above his head instead of sliding in and wiping his legs out. And you know, he didn't go in with the intention of hurting Albert Kelly, but it could have been quite nasty, that, I thought, you know, the way his kind of leg went underneath him. But, you know, that's the way Victor the Inflictor plays. And unfortunately, he's got another ban now just after returning from one. And kind of his disciplinary record is starting to look worse and worse, isn't it?
Definitely, mate. And I was similar, mate. I kind of looked at this from kind of a fan perspective and the physiotherapist within me. From a fan and, you know, I won't say an ex-player, but, you know, played amateur and played university, you're expected to charge down drop goals regardless of what position you're in. And you should make every effort to bust your balls to you know, to block that challenge. So it's almost a case of, well, what's he meant to do? What, you know, he's meant to be diving for the ball. He's meant to be blocking it. But on the other hand, from 3 years studying at university physiotherapy and 4 years as a professional physiotherapist, it's looking at it and thinking that is a career-ending challenge potentially. He dives low at his legs. He could easily really bad ankle damage. He could break his legs. He could do some really bad ligament or dislocation at his knees there. It's reckless. We know for a fact he's not doing it to hurt Albert Kelly, but Victor Radley's probably got to put a bit more smarts in challenges like that. Like you say, stay big, even if he's trying to dive a bit low, don't dive at his legs. It's a disappointing one because we've probably all done something like that where we've dived low at a ball, but you just can't do that anymore, mate. And yeah, I think it's three games he's got again, so that's it until the playoffs, probably when he's going to come back. Moving on to transfer talk, mate. There's not been too much really announced this week, but there's kind of a couple of main talking topics that we can get through in the next couple of minutes. First one that stands out for me is Angus Crichton has been touted to go to Australian Rugby Union. It's come out, it's not come out, it's been well known. Angus Crichton was a Rugby Union player growing up. He enjoyed playing both codes, and I know you're a man of both codes as well, but it would be massive loss for the Roosters, for New South Wales, for Australia and Rugby League as well, if he left for Rugby Union, wouldn't it?
Agree with you there. It would be a massive loss for all of those. And like you said, he played a lot of Aussie schoolboy stuff. I know one of his best mates is a player called Jack Maddox, who plays for the New South Wales Waratahs and has played for Australia in the past. There's obviously still a big connection there. And, you know, one of his best mates still in the game of Union. And I've not kind of heard from Crichton if it's something he'd definitely be keen for type thing, but can see why the Wallabies, Australian Rugby Union, would be really keen on getting him back there. And I mean, I assume he'd play some sort of back row centre hybrid role, maybe like Sam Burgess did when he came over for England, but hopefully a bit more successful if it does happen.
Too much Rugby Union talk, mate. I've no idea what you're talking about. Will Price, mate. Will Price has been absolutely electric since his debut for Huddersfield Giants. There's been rumours this week that the South Sydney Bunnies are sniffing around him, whether it's for a development role or whether it's straight into the first team to train alongside some of the big players and potentially look at him in the halfbacks. That would be an unbelievable signing for Will Price, wouldn't it, mate? Would you think he's appropriate at this stage, or do you think he should maybe have another couple of years in Super League?
Well, I'd like to see him have another couple of years anyway, you know, playing and getting some more games under his belt. But what an opportunity that would be for him if it kind of does come to fruition. And he's obviously got a great bit of pedigree behind him, hasn't he? And he's, like you say, he's made a really good start. So it's great. He's played 7 or 8 games now and looked really good. So, you know, if it does come off, best of luck to him. That'd be absolutely class for him.
Definitely, mate. If they could put in some sort of transfer where, you know, they basically sign him and let him play for Huddersfield for another 2 years or something, and then he goes to the Bunnies in 2024 or something, I think that's pretty ideal. Seems to work signing young for the likes of Dominic Young, doesn't it? And obviously the Burgess boys went over when they were young, Gareth Widdop, Bailey Hodgson as well, who hasn't actually made a first grade appearance yet, but they've obviously spotted something. Obviously the Bunnies scouts are no slouchers, so they've also spotted something there, but that would be a huge signing, but it would be really entertaining to see. And very last but not least, mate, obviously we briefly spoke about it last week. It looks like Joey Lussick from the Parramatta Reels, you boys, is heading back over to Super League, potentially St. Helens. I've seen Salford's name knocked about again, the club we used to play for, but that'll be a big loss and a big, big game for any team over here who's going to be willing to pay for him.
Everyone jumping ship already, aren't they? It would be a big shame. I do really like him at Parra, but you know, we've said earlier on in the season, he deserves to be starting somewhere, doesn't he? And could be starting in the NRL or at least getting regular game time somewhere. And you know, he's going to continue to struggle to get ahead of Reid Marnie at the minute. He's obviously a big favourite and usually is one of our better players. So I think it makes sense for Lussick. And I saw the St. Helens link as well. And I know James Roby's getting towards his twilight years, although he could probably play until he was 50 if he wanted to. But yeah, I think he'd be a really handy pickup, and even better for Salford, he would be. His class that the other year when they got to the grand final and that, and you know, loves a little scoot over try. And yeah, like I said, really decent player, so be a good pickup.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. It does make me think if they're looking at getting James Roby out of the club or retiring as well at the end of the season. Last but not least, mate, we're going to come on to the physio room. We're looking at injuries, or main injuries at least. There are obviously a couple of injuries every single week, but the main ones in the NRL this week. We'll start with Tommy Trbojevic. He's fractured his cheekbone, mate. He's looking at about 2 or 3 weeks on the sideline. I think he's going to come back in the playoffs. Is that going to be a major, major miss for Manly, or are they going to be happy with where they are at the minute?
I think they will be happy with where they are, but obviously they did want to push for the fourth spot, didn't they? So, I mean, not having Tommy Turbo in your team will be a massive loss, but I guess, you know, Garrick will slot back there. And I think the consensus from him was that it's not as bad as first feared, and he wanted to play this week, apparently, but and hopefully he's not kind of being overly brave there and risking it being any worse. But yeah, I think they probably will give him a rest for a few weeks at least anyway.
Yeah, I can't see him risking it. I'm not entirely sure what the next three games are, but I mean, like you say, the guaranteed playoffs now, they're obviously in a good spot, and I think they'll be more than happy with where they are, and there's no point risking that. All they need him to do is play next week. Fractures it even worse, and he's out for the season, so it's not worth it. Coming on to another Tom, mate, and another fracture, but it's Tom Starling. He fractured his jaw in the game at the weekend for the Canberra Raiders against the Melbourne Storm, and he actually played on. And his reasoning, his quote that's come out in the press was, "I didn't think it was too bad. I thought I'd just play on for the boys." Nothing sums up a rugby player like that quote when you fracture your jaw. We've all played with blokes like that, mate, and I'm sure everybody that's listening has played with someone like that.
I'm not one of them, I'll tell you that much. Be off with a broken fingernail. And yeah, there were a few nasty injuries this weekend, and it might be his season done if it's, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever, which is really unfortunate when, you know, they're just outside that top eight and trying to sneak in. And I think Tom Starling's been a really handy player for them, whether he's, you know, in the 14 shirt or starting alongside Hodgson. So that'd be a real shame if, you know, that's him done for this year.
Definitely, mate. Fractured jaws are a nasty one as well. I've played in a couple of games where blokes have got fractured jaws and not nice at all. Last but not least, on the retirement front, Andrew Fifita, if anybody hasn't heard, I think he's actually fractured his larynx. So he's had some really bad damage to his larynx. He's kind of the cartilage in your throat that allows you to kind of, passage food basically down to your esophagus. Horrendous injury to have in a game. And not only is he kind of come out of the game not feeling too good, he's actually been admitted to hospital and been put in an induced coma. All signs are looking good at the minute, Woody. Obviously, apparently he's quite stable and he's only in the coma just to kind of let the inflammation and the swelling go down. It can help him breathe a bit better. But that's a devastating injury, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds absolutely awful, that one. Like you say, he was placed in the induced coma, but signs are looking a bit more positive. But no, so his, you know, family have asked for a bit of privacy whilst he tries to recover and stuff, you know, so people can only kind of send their best wishes and hope he makes a full recovery. But so damaged or fractured larynx sounds absolutely awful. So, you know, really hope he's okay.
Definitely. Yeah. When you get into rugby league, you hear of these injuries, but not anything like that, which it wouldn't surprise me if that knocks his career on the head as well. That's a career ending. And I mean, obviously being put on a ventilator or, you know, put into a coma is kind of give you PTSD anyway. So poor lad, but we're sending all our best out to Andrew Fifita and his family as well. I did say last but not least, but I've actually got one more. It was announced this past week that Lee Mossop has retired from all aspects of rugby league. Huge player in his time. Wigan Warriors won a lot of trophies there. Even went over to you boys at the Panama Terrells. Don't know how many games he played, but he didn't play too many. Come back over to Salford. Been a bit of a club legend at Salford. Only 30, 31, 32, I think, Woody, mate. Retiring relatively early, but obviously a few bumps and knocks over the years has taken its toll.
Yeah, I think I was reading earlier that he's gone through 11 shoulder reconstructions or something, or 11 shoulder ops, and he needs another op now just to make sure that kind of life is comfortable and he can get on with normal family life. And like you said, you kind of read his CV out there, but it's, you know, a shame he can't finish on his own accord. But kind of what he's gone through, it's, you know, more important that he kind of extends his comfortable life and, you know, can play with his kids and whatnot. So, like you said, he won and lost a lot, got to a lot of finals, got capped for England, squeezed a few games in for the Mighty Eels. I think he maybe got 5 or 6 games. Lucky him. And you know, I think he's got a bit of a coffee shop business going. So, hope that takes off and he's kind of happy with all he achieved through the years, which is a lot. You know, he's a class player and he's done loads for Salford since he's joined there as well the last 3 or 4 years.
Definitely so, mate. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 99 of Three Blokes Under Rugby League podcast. Bit of a change up, like you've heard. We've talked about the games, we've talked about the fixtures, the tables, general discussion topics, the naughty corner over in the discipline, transfer talk, and physio room. Whatever you feel as though you've heard of it, send us a message if you think so. It's really good compared to what we usually do, or if you think so, it's crap and you'd rather us do what we normally do. we're open to anything. We enjoy doing this regardless. Head on over to all our social media pages where you'll find a variety of content which will hopefully pique your interest, and also give us a rating on all our podcasting platforms. If possible, please, it really does help us, and it might potentially sack me from this because I can't say the word podcast. We are available on all podcasting platforms, like I've said. Keep an eye out for any future podcasts and interviews, or even have a listen to our archives. We say every single week we've got a litany of blokes up there and blokettes. Tom Johnston, Barry McDermott, Adrian Morley, Emily Rudge, Rhys Lynn, Jodie Cunningham, and much, much more. Even better, this coming Thursday, we bring you a very special interview with St. Helens and England winner, winger, red card man himself, Tommy Makinson, in celebration of our century. We are raising the bat. It is 100 episodes of Three Blokes on the Rugby League podcast. Thank you, Callum Wood. We shall see you next week, Jed Amos Goddard, for more pasting when the Parramatta Eels knock your North Queensland Cowboys down the drain. And thank you, everybody, for listening to 99 episodes of Three Blokes on the Rugby League podcast. We'll see you on Thursday, and we'll catch you all down the road.